Okay, so we're learning again the Torah of Aaron Cutler, and we're going to speak about what is, I think, at least in certain worlds, a defining view or a critically well or very well known view of Aaron Cutler about the right slash wrong way to learn Tanakh. He was very opinionated in general. Rav Lichtenstein, I think, once even described Aaron Cutler as like, if you were around him even for a second, you saw a figure of tremendous energy and vitality. He was like a real sort of like a doer, a mover. He was a genius, a real genius, and a fiery one as such. And he was a very, very intriguing person. And one of the things which is interesting about Aaron Cutler, as we've been trying to talk about a little bit, is not just he had shitas, and he implemented those shitas l'maisa, and you see really both elements coming together of the practical side, the person who could build institutions and raise money and help people, you know, post the Holocaust or during, you know, to get people out of Europe. At the same time that he was also this major Talmud Chacham and an amazingly, I think, fascinating figure, an amazing, fascinating figure as a result. So one of I think, his most well-known ma'amarim, one of the, it was a shmooze that he gave. I think it was given originally in Yiddish. It was printed in a sefer, I believe, originally called Mita Keneged Mita by Rav Bloch, and it was a very well-known shmooze. It's been translated into English. It's quoted, you know, very, very often. It's a talk that Rav Aaron Cutler gave about the right way to learn Tanakh. And he speaks about things in very strong terms because he believed very deeply in things he spoke about. He often spoke about things in very, very strong terms. And what I want to try to do is both give an introduction to Rav Aaron Cutler's worldview, to give some context in how people learned Chumash in terms of one of the issues he's describing, and then to be able to highlight, again, at least one particular element of his approach to the way that you learn, to the way that you learn Tanakh. So let's go as follows.
By way of introduction,
Von Kohler was very much involved and very much believed in the importance of Chinuch and building a world, especially post-Holocaust, especially once so much of the world of Europe, of that Olam HaTorah in Europe was decimated. So he really wanted to rebuild. And part of that rebuilding we spoke about last week was in many ways one element of Aaron Cutler's worldview, which was the chashivas of rebuilding Lakewood, of creating an environment of Torah Lishma, an environment of soul, authentic focus on Torah, Lishem Torah, not doing it for side reasons, not doing it for anything, not so you can become a rabbi, not so you can become, so you can get kavod, but doing it because Torah is Iker, and inculcating and giving over that worldview. At the same time that he's building Lakewood, he's very much involved in a different organization. It is very well known and continues to be active, called Torah Mesorah. Torah Mesorah was involved, again, different missions at different stages. But one of the goals was setting up Jewish day schools in different areas throughout North America. North America, I think typically we mean not Mexico. It doesn't come up as often when we say North America. But we really mean in America, and I guess it could be a bit of Canada. I honestly don't even know. But he was very much involved in setting up yeshivas. He was very much involved in speaking to Mechanchim. He was very much involved in doing what he could to further the general worldview. And he was involved way beyond Lakewood. So that when there were a couple of yeshivas like Tarvadas and Chaim Berlin, I believe, that were exploring the possibility of setting up something that resembled a college outside of their yeshiva building. So it was around color that sort of got involved through Pesach HaFeivel Mendelovich and others that got involved and like shut that down. He was involved. He was a klal person. There are always those gedolim or those giants that are focused primarily on their institution. There are those who are less their institution and more the community as a whole. And Aaron Cutler was sort of like everything, was sort of who he was. So as part of the Hakdama, is the following. In source number two in the Sefer Eish HaTorah, the wonderful two-volume Sefer of Aaron Cutler, biography, Ben Chilik Beis on page 26, he points out that Aaron Cutler was very, very makvid, that in yeshivas in general, they hire people to teach Torah who are of a certain kind of Yerushalayim. That the people who teach Torah should be people not just with a degree of information to know what they were given over, but to really become people who are anashim chashuvim, people who are really authentically religious. He used to quote a tshuva of Rav Haigon found in the Darchei Moshe, the Ramah, Darchei Moshe in Yerideya. It's been Reish Mem Vav, Sif Katan Tes, that he quoted for Tshuva Rav Haigaon, talking about that the Tikkun HaGufa HaNefesh Hu HaMishnah VaHaTalmud, that one of the ways that a person can improve, rectify, and elevate themselves is through Mishnah and Gemara. and there's something very chashiv like that. And he has this very, very intriguing and important line. The only people that you will ever find, such a high goat, it's a great mar makom to know, the only people you'll find who have Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet are those who are osek in the world of Mishnah and Talmud. Absent of that, not going to happen the same way. Related to this, the Rav Aaron Cutler would often encourage, there, they write this, would often encourage yeshivas, learn lots and lots and lots of Gemara. Learn lots of Gemara. We come from a world where, like, you know what it's like, recruiting season for 12th graders, like one of the Ikur Torahs is like how broad your curriculum is. You know, we have 1,000 shiurim in, you know, 19th century French, you know, philosophy. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to go. You know, there's a little bit of like this, of highlighting the broad. For Aaron Cutler, there is, interestingly enough, a push to sort of narrow curriculum to an extent and to focus significantly more on Torah Shebaal Peh, as the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, the Torah Shebaal Peh is really what establishes the Iker Bris that we have. Nevertheless, despite the emphasis on Mishnah and Gemara, so Rav Aaron Cutler is a person that speaks about how to teach Chumash, not just how to teach Chumash, but he has there's Sfarim of him on Chumash and on Nach. He's a person that was Osik in these things also. He was a giant. And he did speak about, the thing was, it's an Iker, it may be Gemara and Mishnah, but undoubtedly a person has to learn Chumash, a person has to learn Nach, of course they have to, and they have to learn it the correct and right way. And if Aaron Cutler is in many ways involved with how to learn Chumash, and he's involved with two tiers of people, not tiers of rating their like essential worth, but two different kinds of people who are going to be learning Chumash. Some are those who are the real Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash who are going to be learning Chumash. That's one category of person that needs to be able to approach it. The second, this is also there, it's on page 21 and footnote 19. He had Talmidim who taught, I don't know if we know what we're familiar with, but taught in like in Talmud Torah. These places that were kids that went to public school on Monday through Friday. Sunday was their off day. And Sunday they would go to the local shul, and there would be classes, you know, for these kids to get some basic and background. They had very, very weak backgrounds. They were in public school the rest of the week. They weren't learning at all, and then Sunday morning was like their one time to get some exposure. And Rav Aaron Cutler had Talmidim that he encouraged to go and to teach in these particular programs. And Rav Aaron Cutler would sit down there here with one of his Talmidim, a guy learning in Lakewood, that would go, you know, to a nearby city on Sunday morning and teach. And Rav Aaron Cutler, so they wanted to learn Chumash. He was hired to learn Chumash. So obviously the guy could get up and teach like basics of what's going on in Chumash, the basic storyline, and that would be productive in and of itself. But Rav Aaron Cutler would sit with him every week and would go over with him what they were going to talk about. He would talk about how to use Chumash. I don't mean that in like in the inappropriate way. How Chumash is a work that when learned correctly, highlighting the right ideas, becomes foundational for pure emunah, becomes foundational for avodas Hashem, and one shouldn't assume even for that group that basic storyline suffices. Teach them chumash the way he would say. Well, if I mean, just a second, chumash is supposed to be learned. Chumash is supposed to be learned. Beginning of our hakdama. Second part of our hakdama is a Torah we quoted last week, but to frame things, I think is very, very important, and that is that for Aaron Cutler, Torah must be met. Torah must be met with the reality that what's happening is as follows. That what's happening is, says Rav Aaron Cutler, that we know that in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, the Rambam writes, Me'ilah is the Isser to make profane, to treat as chol that which is Kodesh. And the Rambam refers to Torah here in this context as being Kodesh. And Torah as being Kodesh, also a person shouldn't violate the Isser of Me'ilah when they learn Torah. So what does that mean? If Torah is Kodesh, you can't treat it in the regular way. And Rav Aaron Cutler quotes this Rambam in the beginning of that talk about how to learn Tanakh. You have to learn relating to it as something which are Dvarim Shebikdusha, not a regular secular work at all. And it's all Kodesh. It's all Kodesh. He quotes also a very famous tshuva of the Rambam. The Rambam, working off of a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yabiz, was asked the Shaila. Many of us are aware of this halachic question. Those who sit for Kriyas HaTorah, so do you stand for the Aseres HaDibros? You stand for the Aseres HaDibros. Many shuls, they'll have like a clap on the bima, and everyone stands for Aseres HaDibros.
So the Rambam has a tshuva. It's a very famous tshuva. The Rambam writes that practice should not be observed. I believe Sfardim, Adi Yom Hazeh, in deference to this tshuva, says Rambam, don't stand for Aseres HaDibros only. Why? Because all of Torah is incredibly chashuv. Every single thing there is kodesh, and Aseres HaDibros are not more kodesh than anything else. And there'd be a chashash that if you would stand only for Aseres HaDibros, people would think like Aseres HaDibros really matters. But like the genealogy in the beginning of Bereishis, or the counting of people in other areas of Chumash, that's more secondary. That isn't really considered to be so critical. And for Varon Cutler, what this highlights is that all of Chumash is not a regular book. All of Chumash is Kodesh. Not only like the highlights or the abridged version is considered to be Kodesh, but it's all considered to be Kodesh. It's all considered to be important. And this is Misode HaChinach HaTorah. This is part of the fundamentals of Chinach, is to inculcate and give over the value that Chumash is different. That Chumash is different. And he says, in a generation in which he's functioning, that there's a certain kind of amaratus, a certain kind of ignorance, which leads a person to learn Chumash in a way which is void of that element of Kedusha. You read it as a regular book and assess the characters as regular characters, and then you can perceive it as being, you know, so much less than it's actually supposed to be. And Chumash then may be a book of better history, but it's not the Torah HaKadosha. It's not what we're talking about. It's not why the Rambam holds you can't either stand for everything or stand for nothing, but none of this mixing at all. It's not Me'ila, you know, it would be Me'ila. It wouldn't be the Kodesh that it's really supposed to be. It's a level above and a level beyond. The primary, that we're going to talk about today at least, the primary angle, or the primary chiddush, or primary point of discussion for Varon Cutler relates to how do you look at Gedolei Yisrael? How do you look as an example at the Avos HaKadosha? How do you look at Aaron, Yitzchak, and Yaakov when you learn Chumash? When you learn Chumash. And here I want to give some significant background, which I think can be a little bit helpful. Interestingly enough, hashkafically, how you learn Chumash ends up becoming like a major, major point of conflict, at least in particular worlds. In the Tzioni world in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, it is a massive, massive debate with very, very strong views on both sides. In Gush, they have Herzog Teacher College. It's a college associated with Gush, where they learn Tanakh in a way which is often, we're speaking in oversimplifications and generalities right now, but it is often more of an emphasis on Pshuto Shel Mikra, more of an emphasis on the world of Pshat. That's part number one. Part number two, it is often, they are critiqued at times. You can assess it, well, not for now, whether it's valid or not, but it's critiqued at times for relating to the Avos. When they look at the Avos and they look at the figures in Chumash, they assess them essentially as, this is the critique of it, as like being, my wife has a degree from there, so just as full disclosure, as far as the Elu, they're more regular people, and they'll discover, you know, sins or weaknesses in the particular figures. So they'll look at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they may critique elements of the leadership style of Moshe Rabbeinu. They may look at Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and they may critique elements of it. Again, we'll give more context maybe a different time. For what is there. It's a much more systematic and sweeping methodology than anything we're talking about right now, but that's that. In the Yeshiva Har Hamor, Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, with Tau, who is the Nasi of that yeshiva, he is on the like extreme right of the Dati Lumi world, like extreme, extreme, extreme emphasis on the word extreme right. So he has a sefer called Tzadik Be'emunaso Yechyeh, where he says the way they learn Tanakh there, it is Yehar Gval Yavor Mamish to go there. And the way he talks, like it seems like he actually thinks. If someone says, you know, go there or, you know, I'll kill you, that the answer would be like, please shoot me in the face. You know, like it seems like that sort of where in a very in world and there's competing Yemei Iyun and Tanakh, you know, because of this. There's a lot of things which emerge, but in many ways it's a basis of a major distinction that comes from there. One of these questions which really does come up is how you relate to the Avos. How do you relate to the Avos? How do you relate to some of these figures? So let's plan a couple of things. In the writings in the Ramban at different times, we know that there were The Ramban writes that there are times where he identifies on his own what he perceives to be a sin of the avos. He writes his example, Bereishis Perek Yud Beis, very, very famously. Ramban writes, there was a Ra'av Ba'aret, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. Av Mavinu leaves Eretz Yisrael. Av Mavinu makes his way down to Mitzrayim. The Ramban famously says, and the Mefarshim debate, Avram was told by Hashem to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's a famine, and Avram leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim. So what's pshat? How could Avram leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim? So some Rishonim say, because Ein Som Chanal Hanes, there was no food in Eretz Yisrael, so it made sense to go to Mitzrayim. The Ramban says, Vida, you should know, Ki Avram Avinu Chet Gadol, B'Shigah Shehevi Ishto Tadeget B'Mishlo Avam Nepachto Ben Yargeno. He says, he thinks that Avraham Avinu sinned a great sin by doing this. And in many ways, he points out what he perceives to be a chait on some level of Avram. Rav Hirsch, as well, in many places in his commentary on Sefer Bereishis, feels comfortable discovering, not like a situation where it's clear in Chumash someone sinned. No one denies that Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong at Mei Meriva, and that's why he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. No one denies that. But Rav Hirsch will often discover in the context of Sefer Bereishis, speaking about and critiquing the Avos in very, very human terms. So in Bereishis, Perek Yud Beis, Rav Hirsch writes as follows. It was written originally in German, so we're going to quote from the English translation rather than the Hebrew translation because we are native English speakers after all, and reading primary sources are great, but I do not know German. So once we are translating, we're going with English. The Torah never hides from, although it's stira, because really the original Ramban color talk was actually given in Yiddish, and we're reading from the Hebrew and not from the English, so I'm mekabel that I was inconsistent on that. The Torah never hides from us the faults, errors, and weaknesses of our great men. Just by that, it gives a stamp of veracity to what it relates. There's an MS in Torah, because you see that it talks about how people in Chumash were not always perfect. We're not always perfect. He does point out the knowledge of their faults and weaknesses need not undermine, you know, where they at. But these are people that had internal struggles, etc. At times, he critiques, as an example, the parenting style of Avos. That one of the reasons why Yaakov and Esav ended up going in different directions was a failure of Chanuch Lenar al Pidarko, of recognizing the unique skill of Yaakov and the unique traits of Esav and being able to raise them up the same way. He critiques at time elements, I believe, of the marriages of some of the Avos as far as the communication which took place between them. And there is this world that goes even further, that if you sort of like just go through Chumash and you would summarize different perspectives, you would almost leave like, okay, the Avos were, okay, you know, love that for great parents, love that for the best spouses, love that for the best that always lived listening to Hashem, you know, things like that. Now, for the Ramban and for Rav Hirsch, and here's an important point, I think it's true for everyone that we're referencing thus far, this is all perceived as being in the context of an appreciation of the godless of who all of these people actually were. It's not saying they were stam regular people. It's saying in the context of who Avraham is and who Yitzchak is and who Yaakov is, we can still identify, the Torah never hides from us, things that we could learn of not just who they were and how that was great, but also some of the, what Rav Hirsch refers to as the faults, errors, and weaknesses of our great men. That could be there. Now, whether the Ramban, and this is going to be a very important question we'll get to, would agree with Rav Hirsch as far as certainly all of the applications that Rav Hirsch makes, I am deeply suspect. Whether he would say Rav Hirsch, not just the applications, but the frequency and the scope and the amount of places where you critique is way too much, that is definitely, definitely possible. I don't know the answer to that. But that's a particular perspective which is out there. And there are those who will sort of continue to do that, holding the banner of I'm a Ramban person and I'm a Rav Hirsch person. And they'll extend it and you can quibble upon particular applications. Is it a good Ha'ara or a bad Ha'ara? The Torah says when Yaakov meets Rachel, Rachel is good looking and he is attracted to Rachel. Is that summarizing the real approach of what Yaakov was all about? Yaakov was just into having a very good looking wife. He was quote unquote makbid on looks. No, or was it something else? Those are all like discussions, but those are applications. The discussions have been shown him, and a lot of questions about sort of like how you look at those particular people. Rav Aaron Cutler, I'm going to first say out the way I think Rav Aaron Cutler is often said over. I'm going to try to make a suggestion that he's it's said over, I think, a little bit in too extreme a way. And I think hopefully that can be helpful. For Rav Aaron Cutler, the following. We have to understand. Let's build in like this. Chazal speak about an idea called Yirias HaDoros. Chazal speak about the decline of generations. And in the world of Chazal, there's a massive gap that exists from one generation to the next. And if there's Yirias HaDoros, which exists from the time of, within Doros of Tanaim. So if we just go historically, if the Avos are all the way up here, we're going to skip a lot of generations. And it goes just all the way down to us, with all of us in between. Always between the other figures in Nach, you know, Moshe, all the figures in Nach. Then you get to, again, Tanaim, Amoraim, throwing the Saborim there, for, you know, Geonim, Rishonim, Achronim, and every door has a degree of Yirias HaDoros, meaning our door, with all of its great Talmidei Chachamim, with all of its great Gedolei Yisrael, Lav Dafka, we have the Chavetz Chaim. Lav Dafka, we have the Chavetz Chaim. It's not that long, but okay. So for Aaron Cutler, we have to know going into it, that is one Hakdama, which means that when you talk about the Avos, and we relate to the Avos, we're talking about people that are not like us, critiquing them the way that we see ourselves, but we're talking about people that are all the way up, people that are all the way up, and their tzidkus and their greatness is so elevated, it's way beyond what we could have envisioned. It's way beyond where we could be. It's part of Yirias HaDoros in that sense. He points out something else also, a yesod of the Rambans. The Ramban has a particular view of what Chazal mean when they say Maisa Avo Simen Labanim. Maisa Avo Simen Labanim is a phrase we use, that what happens to the Avos is a simen for the kids. What does that mean? So you could have understood that to mean something very simple. The Avos were great people, and we're supposed to learn from the Avos. The Ramban, in many places, in his parish on Sefer Bereish, but it's a bunch of years ago, the Ramban believes that it's not just that. What the Avos did directly impacts who we became and who we were. That because Avram went down to Mitzrayim, we had to go down to Mitzrayim. They are setting up the stage that what they do impacts all of us. In that sense, says Aaron Cutler in a very like intriguing thing, because who they are directly impacts who we are, their spiritual DNA, their actions, and their legacy impacts, creates, forms who we are. So if you treat them as regular, lowly people, as people that were filled with desires, petty, simple people, so everything that changes about them impacts the nature of Klal Yisrael. So do you really think that the Ribbono Shel Olam is choosing three people who were just really not that amazing or struggled so much in different areas? No. These are three people that are kimelachim. These are three people that are angelic. These are people, says Rav Aaron Cutler, that are not stam regular. The same way we could never assess angels, we can never assess the Avos because they're so much higher. They're so much beyond. Says about a color, but further, things that are written in Chumash. Chumash has to be learned this way. And he goes through to give examples, as we'll speak about, what's really going on. The real way to learn Chumash is a Sefer of Kedusha, about Anashim Kedoshim, and that the things that are there for a reason to teach us fundamental Yesodos about Avos Hashem. So the following example. You know, Sarah and Hagar have this debate a little bit. And Avram gets involved too about what's going to happen with Yishmael. We're going to throw Yishmael out. We're gonna keep Yishmael around with Yitzchak. Like, what are we really going to do? There's a little bit of a debate. And finally Hashem says to Avram, listen to Sarah. Listen to Sarah, it's time to move Yishmael out. Let me move Yishmael out. It's around color. There are those who would suspect that all of that is like a, you know, internal family dynamics. And Sarah being a little bit petty, not really like Yishmael, wanting to protect her angel Yitzchak, and Avram being pulled to Yishmael because you know, it is his son also, and he does feel a connection, and it's not like some kind of like inner family squabble, you know, that's all that's going on. Baruch Kalman says, like, it's not a chumash for that. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't involve himself in some inner family, you know, moment at that particular point in time. It says, Avram and Sarah, understand what's going on in chumash. The same way you understand the machlokas between Tanaim is how we analyze a machlokas between Avram and Sarah. This was a fundamental debate that was taking place between them. That's why it's in chumash. That's why it needed a hachra of Ribbono Shel Olam. What is the debate? The debate is as follows. Avram, everyone knows, Kuliyama lo pligi, that Yitzchak is a bigger person with greater potential who is at a higher level than Yishmael. No one debates that. Avram holds, well, Yishmael has fantastic gifts. He's a bright, talented guy. And we have to do our best, even though I know who he is, to be mechanich Yishmael also. Yishmael also needs a good chinach. Let's keep him around so we can raise him up a little bit. Sarah says, no, the Iker Mamshech is Yitzchak. And to produce a Yitzchak, Yitzchak needs to be in the most pure environment possible. And if he's around Yishmael, he won't end up being impacted that much. But the energy he'll use to not be impacted by Yishmael is energy he could have used instead to become a bigger person. It's energy he could have used instead to become a more chashiv person. It could have been. So Sarah said, get rid of Yishmael. Let's only have Yitzchak. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has to get involved and paskins on that shayla. The purity of Yitzchak, the excellence of Yitzchak, that trumps what's going to happen with Yishmael. Says it about our color, that's shot in something else also. The Medrash says that the day of the Akedah, the day when Avraham Avinu is commanded for the Akedah, you know what happened that night? That night Yishmael came to visit from the Midbar. The night when Yishmael came to visit from the Midbar, so that next morning, that's already time for the Akedah. What's shot? It's about color as follows. The MS was like Sarah. Yitzchak needs to be pure. And Yishmael came. Do you know what happens when Yishmael comes? Yitzchak's a little bit less pure. You know what the goal of a Nisayon is? We've shown him explain. Nisyonos allow us to become bigger. Nisyonos make us greater people. You know why Yitzchak had to have an Akedah right after Yishmael came? Right after Yishmael came, Yitzchak had to go through the Akedah because he was a little bit tainted by Yishmael. And the only response that was going to be able to be there, the only response that was possible was to make him significantly greater, was to have an Akedah to elevate Yitzchak even more so he shouldn't net be impacted and lose out as a result. That's the orientation. That's the manner in which a Yitzchak looks at, that Rav Kara looks at the stories in Chumash. We don't stop have debates of petty people, you know, and their parenting styles. We're talking about people that are like Malachim Mamish, people that are like angels, people that are like angels. That is the view of Rav Aaron Cutler. He goes through many examples in Tanakh where that phenomenon comes up, where we see examples of where it doesn't look like what you think it really is, and in many ways it would undermine the quality of the Avos. The way Rav Aaron Cutler is often quoted, and here I want to try to like at least maybe say something, you'll forgive me, is that Rav Aaron Cutler is like the outlier. There's like the way that I think they quote me, P.S. Shmua, one Gadol B'Yisrael, there's two views of how to learn Tanakh, the view of Chazal and the view of Rav Aaron Cutler. Chazal were comfortable critiquing the Avos, the Ramban was comfortable critiquing the Avos, and Rav Aaron Cutler says that they're all considered to be Malachim. They're all considered Malachim, and he is the outlier. Let's point out, I guess, two things. Number one, in general, we're talking about a spectrum. Rav Aaron Cutler, what I'm going to say right now, I have no raya for, but what I'm saying right now has to be true. Rav Aaron Cutler, I can't claim expertise in his writings, but he quotes the Ramban all over the place. Part of his whole mahalach is based on the Ramban's understanding, throughout Sefer Bereishis, of Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. He's very much aware of Ramban and Chumash. He's very much aware of what is going on. I do not believe that what Rav Aaron Cutler is saying is that there are lines in a Ramban and you have to cut that out of the Ramban, and that the Ramban is Divrei Kfira, and that we shouldn't learn how the Ramban holds that Avraham Avinu sinned when he went to Mitzrayim. I can't imagine that that is what Rav Aaron Cutler holds. Now, is it possible that there are chassidim that would say things like that, like, no, that Ramban, that's on Armasora is X? Certainly. But I don't get the impression about Rav Aaron Cutler, he was cutting out sections of Ramban, saying there's no way that it could possibly be. I can't imagine or fathom that's what he was doing. So what was Rav Aaron Cutler doing? What's he actually saying? I think he's saying a couple of things. I'm going to say it in a more specific. So Rav Tao from Har HaMor says things like, what, you think you're the Ramban? You're not the Ramban, and it ends right there. That's not a compelling argument, I don't think, at all. That's just, you know, noting that you're not there, you know, you're not reverse either. You're not anyone. Like, so what do? You just stay static and do nothing because you're not any, you know, like, I don't know where he wouldn't invoke that svara. There's a machlokas, you know, in Achronim. So who are you to say anything? Like, is the learning involve absolutely no independent analysis at all? But the Ramban could critique, but we can't critique. There's an element of that. We have to define what exactly that means to make it sound a little bit more, I think, what I would call, like, points like this. This is how I relate to it. For Aaron Cutler, there is a starting point. There's a starting point. And the starting point needs to be as rock solid as possible. And when you're being mechanech people, and when you're relating to Chumash yourself, that starting point needs to be emphasized and clarified. And that is, we are reading Dvar Hashem, Pshuto K'mashmao. And the Avos that we're reading about were not regular people. They were people, but on a religious level, on a righteousness level, they are so removed from exactly where we are that it's ki'ilu, from our perspective, they're almost like malachim. The same way that it would be very difficult, I think we could envision this reality, that for me to observe the Chavetz Chaim throughout his life and critique the Chavetz Chaim, so we would say, like, I don't know if you're at a position to see, really pick up on all that's going on and to really assess, because he's so great. The same way that we wouldn't do that, you know, you wouldn't go with Ack, you know, one time to Chaim Knievsky and sit there and be like, I'm not even going to say the words, you know, and be there and, like, note things about Rav Chaim Knievsky. Like, many of us with a degree of reverence, we may say, you know, not my seat. You can say whatever you want to say, but we wouldn't, you know, go there. There's an appreciation when you start and you walk in and you learn Chumash. Chumash is not a regular text. These people are not regular people. They are foundational figures for our entire Mesorah. The Ribono Shel Olam chose those three more than anything. They are unbelievably, they're giants. And we can't really assess based on our, like, 21st century terms, like using our parenting skills to judge the parenting, you know, both. There was so much more going on there. It was so much more kadosh, etc. In the context of all of that, is there room for a Ramban to point something out? Point is, maybe there is. The Ramban knows the context. The Ramban refers to the Avos like Merkavos Lashchina, as people that were like chariots towards the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ramban knew who these people were. So the Ramban went and went. For Rav Cutler, I think there's two issues. Number one is that Mahalach is deeply dangerous in a generation where people don't come with the same starting point and assumptions that we may be most familiar with when you actually come along, you know, and we learn Chumash. In a generation in which people are questioning the Kedush and the authenticity, in a generation where people are coming in with a degree of ignorance, so you don't highlight those points. You have to first give over all the fundamental and background in order to be able to approach Tanakh as a safer of Kedusha. The second thing I believe is that while there can be a sin of Avos, there can be a sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's so subtle and it's so distinct that it's true that it could be that a Ramban could highlight an element of it, but it's only an element of it in the context of unbelievable acts of righteousness and Kedusha. And it's wrong to compare the fact that I'm not an ideal parent to Yitzchak not being an ideal parent. The fact that I get frustrated with my kids or don't fully appreciate the unique skills of all of my children does not mean that, and Yitzhak too, he and I, we're essentially the same. And it's like a source of physics sometimes for me. You know, if I feel like I'm not giving my kids the requisite space to like encourage them to cultivate their skills, so I say, you know what, I'm no worse than Yitzhak. No, the starting point, anashim chashuvim, gedolim tzadikim, kimalachim mamish. And when they're viewed that way, says Rav Aaron Cutler, so that's the starting point, and that's the given, and that everyone knows. And the Rambam, when he writes a sin, it's in the context of all of that. And then you could talk in a certain way, and then you could perceive. But when it's not there, it's indescribably dangerous. When it's not there with that level of Kedusha and Yerushalayim, then Rav Aaron Cutler says the whole thing is pasul meikara. Pasul meikara. It isn't just this generation. I think the kinds of people, it's almost like this, a way that I would say, if you're for Rav Aaron Cutler, you know, I'm trying to channel his view. A different time we'll speak about, you know, the other Mahalath. But for Aaron Cutler, it's like the kind of person, if you are primarily discovering faults in these figures, if your general assessment of Moshe Rabbeinu was, nice guy, not a great leader. If your general assessment of Yitzhak was, he tried really hard, but disconnected from the world. If your definition of Yosef was, relatively petty, but some moments of strength. You know, if that is the way that you happen to be, and that's you're discovering in Chumash all the time, so you miss the first 90% of what's going on right now. So the last 10% is very, very different, perceived in light of the first 90 or not. And when you're teaching people Torah, when you're encountering Tanakh, and you're learning it on your own, so what are you most gravitated towards? What are you highlighting? What is the goal of that work? So the goal of that work is deriving Yisodos in Avodas Hashem that come from there, in learning that Sefer, being a Sefer of Kedusha, understanding who the Avos are because the Avos impact who we are, and being able to view things in that particular way, it frames the whole Limud to be so different. Says the Ron Kaler, if you look at Yaakov Avinu and you see a guy that was into Rachel because she was good looking, so number one, he said, that's because you're reading Chumash like you. It's a bad read of Chumash, he argues. So why does Yaakov Avinu initiate a deal where for 7 years he won't be with Rachel? What is going on there? He's so attracted to her. Most people with physical taivas don't wait 7 years to one day and initiate that deal. It's a bad read of Chumash, but reading Chumash on your terms, looking at Yaakov as if he was you. It's not that none of these Mahalchim exist and we've shown him. It's that it's so different from where you're coming from and what you're trying to give over, and the values that you're trying to inculcate, and what the primary goal of Chumash is. And that, I think, is a little bit of a chiluk, you know, which exists. So for Aaron Cutler, part of the purity of it is the need to learn Chumash a particular way. And he stands by it, and he writes it, and we have his Torah on Chumash, and he gives Sichos and Ma'amarim and the like. But for him, it's rooted in Torah Baal Peh, we've shown him, and it's rooted with the primary value of a being. So is he more extreme than many other achronim in saying we can't assess at all and like malachim? The answer is yes. He is more extreme than Rav Hirsch for sure. He's more extreme than like the Ramban was in a certain sense, maybe. But it's not that first 95%, which in a world where that's not really taken for granted, then the last 5% about their mess ups or sins or failures is perceived so incorrectly. We perceive their failures like ours. So were they human? Of course. And the Chafetz Chaim was human, and the Gra was human, and the Rambam was human. They were human, but they were a different. They were a different Bria entirely. At the same time, they were elevated. They were elevated. So can I judge and can I assess at the same time? You know, if you're uncomfortable with lines like, there's an Achron that said this, like the Rambam, had he learned with the Chavrusa, you know, wouldn't have made mistakes in Mishnah Torah like he did. Okay, so. So are you more comfortable saying things like that about Yitzchak and Avram? You know? So it's a degree of reverence. And that's a way of relating to it. So again, we tried today to present the Mahalach of Rav Aaron Cutler. Mahalach of Rav Aaron Cutler, which is, I think, a very powerful, original, and important Mahalach. It's a particular extreme Mahalach as far as how you relate to it. But it's such an important, what I would say, it's such an important voice in learning Chumash to have that in mind. You know, also, even if many of us have different Sfarim by our Makom, by those who identify, you know, with different worlds, and to at least sort of inculcate that value of Torah with a real sense of Kedusha.